turned unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Look in verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. And in verse 15, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. God wants to speak to you in your Bethel. God wants to speak to your heart. And as Christians, teenagers, young people, you have got to have a place where you go and talk with God, where you meet with God. That's your Bethel. It's a place where you meet with God. The question is, when was the last time that God spoke to you? When was the last time that you really spoke to God and you heard from him? You heard his voice. You know, Jesus had a place to go. It was called the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, it was so known by everyone that Jesus went there very often to pray with his disciples that even Judas knew it, didn't he? And that's where he knew he could betray him. He knew he was going to be there. We need to have a place just like Jesus where we meet with God every day. Usually it's in our home, somewhere in our house. Just get alone with God. You'll never realize how important it is until you're not doing it. And you realize just how far away you are from God. Bethel is what's going to keep you at that commitment that you make at Peniel, where you got a hold of God and you made a commitment to the Lord. You better go to Bethel to renew that every day, because the world wants to steal that out of your heart. A there on your sheet, getting alone with God. You see Genesis 35 and verse 9, back in Genesis 35. And in verse 9 it says, and God appeared unto Jacob again. In verse 13, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. This is getting alone with God. It's just you and him. Imagine just you and Almighty God. We really don't hear his voice all day long many times because we're busy with other things. You've got to have a Bethel. You've got to have a place where you only hear the voice of God. And you speak to him and he speaks to you. It really is possible. You need to come into Bethel, that place, expecting him to be there and meet with him. Bethel's a private place where you do business with God. And guess what? God does business with you. I'm telling you, this is the thing that most Christians are lacking in, their prayer time. The time that they're alone with God. And that's why the Christian church today has no power. Because they're not praying. They're down on their knees. They're not getting alone with God. Jacob called it the house of God, his Bethel. Turn to Matthew. Keep your finger here in Genesis because we're going to come back. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Oh, I hope God gets this across to you, how important this is. This could be the very difference whether you fall away or whether you keep that commitment strong that you made to the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 5, it says this. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Don't be a hypocrite. We already know what it's like to put a mask on and have a little bit of me, or some of me and some of God. And nobody really likes a hypocrite. We need to get alone with God. We need to be real about this thing of getting into our prayer closet, and it's just you and God. No one sees you but God. But I guarantee you, if you get alone with God, everyone will know. Everyone will know you've been with God if you just get alone with him. Because the Father rewards openly those who seek him in secret. It doesn't mean you go parading it around. People can just see you've met with God. Don't forget your Bethel. Get alone with God. There's no fooling around in your prayer closet. You're either talking to God or you're talking to yourself. Now think about it. We put people in crazy places when they start talking to themselves. But you do that when you go into your prayer closet. And God's not even in your thoughts. Maybe you're just putting on a show. You're talking to yourself. And if you're unsaved, maybe you're talking to your father, the devil. You better turn that thing around too. You better get saved before you leave this camp. You better think seriously about whether you're on your way to heaven. Spend time alone with God. Get to your Bethel. Get alone with God. B is a heart that yearns for Bethel, back in Genesis 35. Genesis 35 verse 1 says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Verse 2, "Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go to Bethel." All right? Let us arise. You should have a heart that wants to go into your prayer closet. You should want to pray in the morning. You should want to pray in the evening. Even if you're just laying flat on your bed, just speak to God. Have a Bethel. It was Jacob's desire to go back to the place where God answered his prayers and revealed to him the way that he should go. Can you remember a place? Maybe it's a camp here where you made a decision. You can't take camp home, but you can take Bethel home in your heart. And plant it there beside your bed and make that little place there the place where you and God meet every day. You'll never know how important it is till you're not there. And you see how far away you've gotten from God. Our desire should be to get to the place where God has blessed us before, the place of prayer. Just bowing your knee, wherever you bow the knee before God and humble yourself, that's a Bethel. It's a place where you and God get together there. Not just the place itself, but the mindset and the heart attitude, because you're not always going to be at camp. You're going to go home. Take your Bethel with you. Have a Bethel. I yearn sometimes. I think about when I laid on that floor and gave my heart to the Lord to take me to go anywhere he wanted me to go in the mission field. I yearn for that, but I'm not there anymore. I have to have my Bethel where I live now. That's my Bethel. My bedroom where I kneel before the Lord God and I speak with him. I have a heart that yearns to want to meet with God. I hope you have that heart to meet with God. See, Bethel is a place of change and cleansing. You see there in chapter 35, we read verses 1 to 3. You see there in verse 4, "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob said unto the and hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him." It's a place of changing. They put away their strange gods. They took the earrings out of their ears. Fellas, you need to take the earrings out of your ears. But I don't see any guys with earrings in their ears, but that always disturbs me greatly, especially when they're Christians. They say they are. But can I say something off the record? Don't take this. You know, girls, you get your ears pierced. It's a thing girls do. But where does that stop? When we start putting 2 and 3 and 4 earrings in our ear. If it's okay to put 1 in our ear, then why isn't it okay to put 2 in our ear? Now look, that's just my own little pet peeve, because people say, well, you can pierce your ears. And I guess for girls, I don't know. I guess you could pierce your ears and put those earrings in. But what's the matter with 2 then? Why can't you put 2 earrings in? Why can't you put 25 earrings in your ear? I don't know. I don't understand the idea of piercing the ears. I don't understand that. I think these earrings that they had were pressed on. It was real soft gold. It was just pressed onto the ear. I remember my mother, they didn't have their ears pierced. My mother would press those earrings on. That's how they went on. Today, we pierce our ears. Hey, look, if 1 is enough, why not put 2 in? If we can pierce our bodies, put 3 in. That's my own thing. I got it off my chest. I'm done with it. Isaiah chapter 6. I think sometimes we forget the holiness of God, just how holy our God is. I want you to look at this. When you get into your Bethel and you see how holy God is, you're reminded of, you're talking to God Almighty, it's going to change you. Verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 3, these serpents, and one cried unto another, Isaiah 6:3, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And what did Isaiah do? In verse 5, he said, then said, "I, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Boy, the closer you get to God and the holiness of God, the more you'll see you're nothing but a worm. You'll see yourself for what you really are. These old men of God that have just gotten so close to God, they know how little they are. You find out just what you are when you draw close to God. You can have that every single day that you meet with God. You can draw close to the holiness of God and see, boy, do I need God, because I am just a worm. I am nothing without God. I need God. And the closer Isaiah drew to him, to God, he saw him high and lifted up. And then he was able to say, "Hey, who will go for me?" The Lord said, "Here am I, send me." Nothing will be too great when you draw close to the holiness of God. And he says, "Who will go for me?" And you say, "I'll go. I'll go to the mission field. I'll preach. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord." That'll come out of Bethel. For the Christian, Bethel becomes a place where you are changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we with all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It's the Holy Spirit in you that wants to speak to you and show you from the inside out the holiness of God that is now residing in the Christian. He doesn't want to be closed up in your heart. He wants to explode all over your countenance. He wants to show the world himself and less of you and more of himself. Bethel's a place to get clean from the filth of the world and stay clean by changing your garments. Jacob was on his way to Bethel, and he said, "Put away the strange gods, bury them." And he buried them under that oak at Shechem. By the way, that's the same place Joshua got rid of the strange gods. Put them in the same place. Bury them. Change has got to come from the inside out. Don't conform, you get transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove. But it is an acceptable and perfect will of God. Change takes place on the inside. We need to take up our cross and follow him, and not the ways of the world, and not your friends, and not your music, and not all your little gods. Get changed. Go to your Bethel. Get with the holiness of God. Confess and repent and get right with God. That's what's going to keep that commitment strong in your heart to follow God. Oh, you need Bethel, and you need to take your family to Bethel. Bethel's a place for the whole family to come. You may be the only one saved in your house. But I'll tell you what, if your mom and dad or your brother or sister just happen to catch you sometime on your knees talking to God, it may just be the thing that God uses to draw them to Jesus Christ. Whatever happened to get caught praying once in a while in your own home? It's time to eat. Oh, she's praying again. Your brother walks by the door, and there you are on your knees. Because you just have a habit of going into your Bethel. Maybe you're saved and many of your family aren't. Look, God wants to use you as a shining light in your home, as a great testimony in your home. Hey, look, it's the same thing with the adults. If your kids aren't catching you praying once in a while and on your knees before God, come on. They should see you meeting with God in your Bethel. Be a great influence on them. Don't be a bad influence. Now, how often do your unsaved family members, as I said, catch you doing these holy things for God as far as praying? They must see a real change in you. D is it's an appointed place for Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, turn there. Genesis 28. Genesis 28. You know, Jacob is on his way in obedience to his father to go get a wife. For once, he's doing what he was told to do. He's obedient. And verse 11 says, "And he lighted upon a certain place," 28:11, "and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And that's where the ladder comes down from heaven. That's where he meets with God. At least he sees the vision. This is where he anoints the stone, and all because he's in the place where he's supposed to be. The place where God met and blessed Jacob. And in verse 14, you see, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north. This is where he blesses Jacob because he was in a place of obedience. You have to be in a place of obedience in your Bethel, in obedience to those around you. When you come into Bethel, be in obedience to those that are around you. Jacob was on his way doing what his father had told him, and that's when God met with him. He was on his way to Paddan Aram to take a wife. He was on his way when God met him. He was where he was supposed to be. Make sure you are where you're supposed to be, in obedience to your family members, to your pastor, to your teachers. That's where God's going to meet with you. God rewards and blesses obedience. He just does. That's who God is. So we need to be obedient to our authorities, and God will come and meet with us in our Bethel. I mean, look, don't try to pretend like you're right with the pastor and obeying the pastor and you're not obeying mom and dad at home. God doesn't go for that. There's a line of authority that he's put in your life. You make sure you're obedient to mom and dad, then you're obedient to your teachers, you're obedient to your pastor, then you can go to God. There's an order there. You need to be obedient to all the authorities in your life. And by the way, as you grow up, you may not have as many authorities over you, but you still have an authority over you. God is still the authority of every one of us in here. So we just get to different levels, but all of us have to answer to God. Now, each of you here will have the same special meeting with the Lord through obedience to God if you obey the authorities in your life. No obedience, no blessings. Be in the appointed place. The appointed place of obedience, that's where you're supposed to be, and you'll meet with God. E, it's an anointed place by Jacob. It's anointed in Genesis 28, look at verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. He consecrated it, and he calls it Bethel. He consecrated it. He set it apart. This was a special place for Jacob. You need to have a special place. It's almost as if there's a big X on the ground. That's where I go meet with God. That's not just a place, but that's where your heart joins with God, in that place alone. It's anointed. Genesis 31:13 says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Jacob set this place apart from every other place. That was his Bethel. Jacob made a vow. It was a special place. It was a holy place. And that's what your Bethel should be. When we anoint something, we consecrate it. We set it apart. And that's what Bethel was. 1 Peter 1:5-16 says this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, that's what we're supposed to be. Holy. Why? Because God's holy. And God lives in us. And that honors God. You'll get that change. You'll get to a place where you can meet with a holy God in an anointed place, a place that's set apart. The place of holiness should be in our hearts. God should be consecrated in our hearts, set apart in our hearts. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. That's an anointed place. That's our Bethel. F, Bethel is a place to go back to. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1. Genesis 35:1 says this, and God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. He said, go back to Bethel. God called him back to Bethel. And that's what God's going to do to you. He's going to keep reminding you that you're not in the place of prayer. When's the last time we've talked to each other? When's the last time you've gotten alone with me? When's the last time you heard my voice? Go back to Bethel. I want to talk to you. I want to be with you. When you find yourself away from God, you can always go back to Bethel. In fact, it's the only place where you can go back to God. You got to go back to where you got off track. You got to go back into the place of prayer. I'm telling you right now, that's going to be the thing that you're going to lack. You may read your Bible. You may even read a whole chapter. But when you get done reading your Bible, you're going to have to pray. You got to spend time in prayer. This is where real power is. This is going to help you. You will find God when you seek Him in prayer. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The prodigal left the father, but he had to find his way back to the father. He had to go back to the father. God never leaves you. You leave God. And the farther you get away, the less you hear his voice. It's like getting farther away from a radio tower. The radio won't tune in. My cell phone doesn't work. I'm far away from the signal. I can't hear God anymore. Get back to Bethel. Go back and get your knees on the ground and bow before God and ask him to come and meet with you. You got to get back to Bethel. Bethel's a place of promises, G. Bethel is a place of promises. The promise of land was given to Jacob. It was given to his father Abraham. When he went to Canaan, he was told that he was going to have the promise that his seed would be given the land of Canaan. God renews his covenant with Jacob. God promises to make him a mighty nation. And what did God call that place of promise? What did Jacob call that place of promise? Bethel. It was Bethel where God promises us things. We remember the promises of his word in our heart. The voice you hear is the word of God in your heart. The voice that God speaks to you with is his word. Our God is a promise keeper. There's 3,000 promises in the Bible. Someone must have counted them all. But I know one thing. Every time God says, I will, he will. Because he's a promise-keeping God. God has never failed anyone. If God says he's going to do something, he does it. He's not like us. He does everything he says he's going to do. God makes promises for the Christian, and we remember them in the place of prayer. Promises that we've read in our Bible. The reason a lot of us say, God doesn't promise me anything, because you never read his Bible. If you read the Bible, you'd have plenty of promises. I'm hanging my hat on the fact that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a nail in a sure place, isn't it? God will always be with me. He said it. I run away from him all the time, but he's always there. I can always go back to him. He never leaves me. Nehemiah was broken over the state of Jerusalem, and he cried out to God, and he told God, remember this, you promised this. Do you think God got mad at him? He said, bring it on, Nehemiah. I'll answer my promises. God likes it when we come to him and say, you promised this. He'll do it. He doesn't get upset. Bethel is a place to remember the promises and renew the covenants that we've made with God, the same commitments that you've made to God. God hasn't forgotten one thing you've said in your heart, and he wants you to come and renew that covenant with him. He'll strengthen you. You know, even your parents break their promise sometime, don't they? Maybe they're going to take you somewhere, and all of a sudden, they don't have the money. I'm going to take you. I just can't take you today, but I want to take you to wherever they were going to take you. Whatever they were going to do for you or buy you or do something with you, take you fishing. I just can't. I mean, the car broke down. We can't even get there. And all I'm saying is God will never let you down. God never breaks a promise. He can't. And finally, it's a place of altars and sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 35 and in verse 3, it says, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Jacob builds an altar. What happens on altars? Things get slaughtered. Things get killed. Things die. And we need to go and have a place in our Bethel, an altar, where we're constantly dying to self. Where we're constantly offering ourselves up to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. One of my favorite verses is, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You just have to die to self in order to produce anything in your life, because God has to do it through you. And every time we start living for ourselves, God takes a back seat. He just backs right up. The Holy Spirit's shy in that way. He doesn't force himself. He waits until we yield, and then he fills us. And he fills us and he can use us. Christians need to offer themselves up as living sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is where you're going to find God's perfect will for your life. in your Bethel. This is where God's going to meet with you. And we should be there often, and we should spend more time there. Everyone in this room needs to spend more time in their Bethel, more time in their prayer closet, because this is where God is going to speak to you and empower you. And you're going to realize that you need God more than you ever needed anything else in your life. Give your life to Christ. It's always the right choice to build a Bethel and be there every single day. Let's bow our heads. Bethel, it's a place where Jacob met with God and he got alone with God. It's a place where he was cleansed and changed, an appointed place, an anointed place. It's a place he could go back to. It's a place where you can just count on the promises of God. It's a place of sacrifice. I just want you to think about the promises that you've made to God. The only way you're going to keep them is you get into your Bethel and you get alone with God. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would impress this message upon the hearts of everyone here, Lord. I know I needed to hear it. Father, I pray that those who have made commitments to you, that they'd realize that their Bethel, this place that Jacob found, such a special place, that they would find that place. That place of prayer, that place of getting alone with you. And they would get real with you every day. They'd get alone and talk to you. And find that when they get out of their prayer closet, when they go out to meet that world, that all of a sudden they realize they have a strength beyond anything they could ever imagine. Because they're clean, pure before God. They have peace in their heart and a strength that goes way past anything physical. Father, please put this message way down in our hearts. And Lord, just be glorified in it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.